Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. This is Work on Air coming to you this beautiful Thursday, and we are at episode 61. Gospel for Grampian listeners, love, 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 love. And yes, we love talking about love. I think before we talk about in detail what love is, this is what psychologist says love is. Very well mind, Kendra Sherry says, love is an emotion. And it is characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. Then she goes on to say, the evidence of love includes care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. Here she's expressing the nature of love. Love can vary in intensity and can change over time. Now, this really got my attention. I'm going to repeat it. She says, love can vary in intensity and can change over time. She says love is associated with a range of positive emotions, including happiness, excitement, life, satisfaction, euphoria, but it can also result in negative emotions such as jealousy and stress. Now, ladies, she's highlighting love is conditional and has both positive and negative emotions. She goes further on to express that when it comes to love, some people would say it is one of the most important human emotions. Yet despite being one of the most studied behaviors, it is still the least understood. For example, this also got my attention, Gospel for Grampian listeners. She says, researchers are debating whether love is a biological or cultural phenomenon. Love is mostly influenced by both biology and culture. Although hormones and biology are important, the way we express love and experience love is also influenced by our personal conceptions of love. Now, I was quite surprised that people are actually debating love, whether it comes from culture or behavior. We have the opportunity to measure love by God's word and confirm that love is not an emotion. We've heard these words, love hurts. Now, this statement can mean, I love you so much, like David always says, as the deer panted after the water, so I pant after you. Love can mean, I love you so much that my everything of me yearns for you. That could be love hurts. Another statement, love hurts, could be, my heart is broken. I've been hurt. I've been deceived. My heart is broken. So there's two ways one reads love hurts. What does the Bible say about love? Ladies?
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So here we see the word of God. Jesus is instructing his disciples and he says, I command you to love one another. And so because he's commanding the disciples to love one another, the word love thing means it's an action that we have to demonstrate. It's a decision that you have to make. So I believe it's much more deeper than just a feeling and emotion. It's a decision that we have to make. And when we are children of the Lord, we are confronted with this command, just like the disciples were confronted. And when we encounter people, when we believe in Jesus, we have to take up this command and love. I want to leave this with a panel this evening.
Thank you, Shanaz. I want to add to what Shanaz is saying. Shanaz has just confirmed now that love is not conditional like Kendra has stated. Kendra is saying love is conditional and it is based on positive and negative emotions. And here we hear it from the word of God by Shanaz that love is a commandment and it is not determined or actioned by how I feel or how happy I am, but it is based on the law of God's word. Nelly, you have anything to add to that?
I like what beautiful Shanaz has just said, that it's a decision that you take. Because if we take this love of God, not talking about the love of emotions, which is the one that is always giving us as human beings problems, because our emotions are not stable. Sometimes we feel, sometimes we don't feel. So we can't depend on that kind of love. So the kind of love that we must depend on is the love of God, which is agape love. So when Shinez was saying, you must make a decision, when we read Colossians chapter 3:14, it says, and above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So when it says put on love, it means you are clothing it. You know, when you've got a jacket, you put it on, you clothe it. So God is love. We know that God himself is love. So if you don't allow God to be upon your life, to clothe him, so you when you walk around, people, they will just experience God himself in your love, in your life, because of the love that you have. As human beings, we are not capable of loving because of our weaknesses, because of our fallen nature. But if we put God, we love through him. So that is why when we love people, we can love them unconditionally, because the love of God, it doesn't have conditions. He loves you even if you are a sinner. He loves you whether you don't love him. So, you know, we need to understand that it is only the explanation of the Bible that will teach us the love of God. That is why if you don't have God and you tell people that you love them, you are lying, because you don't have love, which is God. God is love. Thank you, Angelina.
I love what you're saying in Corinthians. Paul is describing the fruit of love in the natural. But can we safely say from what you just said now, Nelly, that love is a heart matter, right? It's a heart matter, but not an emotional matter, because psychologists are saying it's an emotional matter. And we are reading what the Word of God is saying, that if this is the nature of the fruits of love, then in order for us to express it outwardly, it is a heart matter. If we don't have the love of God internally, then the expression that you've just highlighted in 1 Corinthians 4 is not 13:4 is not going to be there. So let's just read it again. What does 1 Corinthians 13:4 says? Love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it does not do self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, right? So to be able to express that kind of deep love, like what Nelly said, in the human, you can never do that. You can never not be jealous in a human love, because that is the opposite of God's love. There's jealousy, there's envy, and all of that. For us to express God's love, can we then say, Sharon, that love is a heart matter?
Hi, Angelina. Yes, we can. You know, Nelly took me back to a very phenomenal thing with God, that in the beginning, out of the heart of God and out of the love of God, man was created. And when God created man in his image and in his likeness, love played a great role in the foundational structure where God put man. And in that love, God desired to commune with man, to love man, to walk with man. And out of that place of love, man was created. And as we walk, the heart of God towards the heart of man was connected. And God walked with man. And as God walked with man, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. The ability to love is there in God, not outside of God. If the ability to love is in God. And the more we commune with God, the more we speak to God, the more we talk to the Father, the more we come into the nature and the likeness of God, the more the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, but also the more the love of God is being permeated through our lives. I love what Psalms 36 verse 7 says. It says, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. When we experience the unfailing love of God, when we experience that structural love of God, we come and we take refuge in the shadow
of these winds, that we know that God's love is so unconditional, that the word says in Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Every action God made was out of love. When he gave Jesus, it was out of love. Jesus gave his life because of love. And when we did not deserve it, God still loved us. And that hard condition of God is the hard condition we should desire, because we were made in the image and likeness of God. And it is dying of our own thoughts and of our own things that we can partake in the deep love of God. Thank you, Angelina.
I love what you are saying. And now when we talk about God is love and God is spirit, the connection is a heart thing, like you said. So love is a heart matter. I mean, to confirm that, precious Gospel for Grandparent listeners, let's read Psalm 17:3-5. This is what David is saying. He's saying, though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. So here David is acknowledging that everything about God is a heart matter. When God wants to see if you love somebody, he's not going to judge you by your good deeds in the sacrifice. He's going to first go see the heart motive. And David knew that all too well. I'm thinking about 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Why? We are created in the image and likeness of God. As we don't know the heart of the Father, which is love, then we can't serve God with the right heart. Where I'm going with this is the next question. We recognize love is a heart matter, and it's not an emotion. Is love acts of service? Now, why I'm asking, and any one of you can take this question, right? Is love an act of service? Because we read many books and some Christian books that say love is an action. But that action without the heart of God is well described, without the love of God is well described in the scripture.
Yes, as children of God, we know that everything that we do, we must do it out of love. When we read in 1 Corinthians 16:14, it says, let all that you do be done in love. So whatever we are doing, even now as we are sitting here talking to the listeners, it's because of the love of God that is in us that we want to share it with other people. So it's very important that as people, in everything that we do, the love must always be there. The love of God, it must, whether we feed people, whether we pray for people, you know, because if you are a leader, especially us who are in business, us who are leaders, who go out and reach out to people, if you don't have love for people, you will never do this kind of things. You know, you will stay in the house and not care about anybody. You will say everybody for himself, but God for us all. But when you have the love of God in you, you reach out to people. You don't consider yourself. It's not only about you. You pray even for other people. You don't say praying for my family only. It's all about you and your family. But you even pray for nations. You pray for Christians. You pray even for your enemies. Why? It's because of the love that is within you. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you. I love what Nelly is saying. And I'm going to take it back to this scripture. Is love acts of service? 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now that's telling me that if I don't have the love of God, no matter what I say, nobody's going to want to hear me because I'm frustrating their ears. Because a clanging cymbal is noisy. A resounding gong is noisy. Therefore, I don't have a voice. Because while I might have a voice, the love of God is not in me, so nobody will hear me. I don't have influence. If I don't have the love of God, I don't have influence. And then it says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. What are your thoughts on that, Shanaz? That is deep. I am nothing, yet I have the gifts that the Spirit of God has given me.
Thank you for that, beautiful Angelina. I think 1 John 4 verse 8, I think it puts it into perspective for us. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So being this loud, obnoxious person basically means that I don't know God. And only through God, I will know what love is. So in my own human understanding, in my own experience of what I think love is, I actually am incomplete in being able to love, because the Word of God says, only when I'm in God do I know what love is. So when I have an experience with the Lord Jesus, when I accept Him as my personal Savior, then I can say, I can love now, because then God's love has come into my heart. He has restored me and made me whole. And now I'm no longer the sinner, but He's brought righteousness upon me and He's shed His love into my heart. And now I'm loving from a place of where God has instilled and also shed His love into my heart. So I think 1 John 4 verse 8 really puts that into perspective, 1 Corinthians 13, Angelina, that it's only when I'm in God do I know love, and then I'm able to demonstrate what love is, where I'm able to love and bear forth the fruits of the Spirit of God, because now my spirit man is made alive through accepting the Lord Jesus, and now I can love like the Lord loves. Thank you.
Gospel for Grampian listeners today, we say that you can give sacrifices, but like David said, God did not seek our sacrifice. He wants to look at, He seeks the heart of us. Okay? Now, I have a question for our beautiful Myrtle. When you introduced yourself, you said God is love. The question people are asking, is love reliable? Is love reliable because man has failed us, people has failed us, our lovers have failed us, life has failed us? Is love reliable? What does the Bible say about God's love, Myrtle?
Thank you, Angelina. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Angelina, that tells you all. He died on the cross because of love for us. He's a loving God. So if we've got God inside of us, our spirit man will tell us immediately, and it will show other people that the love of God is in you. You can't do anything without love, the love of God. Normal worldly love, you can't compare it with the love of God. God is love. That is what His Word says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So what does that tell you? He died for us on the cross because of love. That's how much He loved us. So we must be pure, and we must live the way God wants us to live, in love.
Because we reciprocate that love to the Lord by honoring His laws and commands. Because I love what David said. Okay. David always says this. He says, Lord, I obey Your laws. I obey Your commandments. I love obeying it. I mean, I read so much of Psalms, and every Psalm that I read about David, he's like, Lord, I love Your law. That's what love does. Love reciprocates. And I think where we miss it as human beings is that we look for the love language between another human being rather than having that love language with our Father God, because like you've both, all of you have said today, that everything when it comes to love is rooted in the heart of the Father. But we seek acceptance and love from humanity that we forget that if we don't have the love of God, we don't have everything, because God has just said, now, even in the gifts of God, it means nothing when we don't have the love of God. If I can just ask you from Nelly's side, encourage us through either testimony or word or inspiration. What does the love of God mean in your life? If you didn't have God's love, how would life be?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. You know, when I was growing up as a young girl, I used to have so much fear in my life. Everything was scaring me. You know, sometimes I would have nightmares. I didn't understand. I was fearful. I thought that I was going to even die early in my life because I was full of fear. But after I gave my life to Christ as a young person, that's when, you know, the love of God came into me. That's when I started to be bold. As I was growing now in the Lord and start even reading scriptures for myself, I started to understand things, because 1 John 4:18 is saying, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So I realized that, you know, by me growing in church, yes, hearing the word of God, seeing things happening in church, but because I was not perfected in the love of God, that is why the enemy was able to torment me every time, making me feel as if, you know what, I'm going to die. This is going to happen in my family. Every negative thought, he tormented me with those thoughts until I start to understand the love of God. And when that love was perfected in me, I stood up and I became bold. And I love the way God, you know, worked in my life, because at a very young age, I started to have passion. You know, he put this passion in me of wanting to know the spiritual realm things, wanting to know about demons, and, you know, start reading books. And I became, you know, somebody that loves to pray for people, especially people who are demon possessed. That is my passion. Even now at Bible school, I'm the one that is teaching this module of demonology. It started very small, but when you look at it, it started when I was young, and Satan put fear in me. So I thank God that it's because of his love that he took what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it around to be a good thing. Today, I'm not scared of the devil. He knows my name. He knows that every time when I rebuke him, he will leave. Why? It's because of the love of God. I embrace that love of God and say, you know what? I fear nothing, because my God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but he gave me spirit of love and of a sound mind. So I'm walking with confidence today, knowing that my God is always by my side. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Nelly. I love what Nelly is saying. The perfect love of God casts out all fear, and God's love is perfect. So listeners, if you are listening on today and you are dealing with fears or anxieties or worries, then you don't know the love of God. Nothing and no one in the earth can get rid of fear in your life. Only the love of God. I think about myself, Nelly. I had so much of rejection, and I always went from one relationship to another to be accepted and to be approved and to be loved, until I experienced the love of God at the age of 32, and that changed my life forever. And I am not afraid. And whether people like me or not, whether they affirm me or not, I love myself because I know who I am in Christ. Having said that, Shanaz, a question for you. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And then he says, second to that is love one another. And these two commandments are the commandments that is the foundation for us as children of God. Now, like I'm said to you, I had to enjoy the love of the Father for me to never seek the love of people to satisfy me. What does those two scriptures mean in terms of wellness and good life for human beings?
Thank you for that question, beautiful Angelina. I was just looking at the scripture now. Wow. You know, the Lord is so profound. This scripture means so much to me because it speaks about God's selfless love for us. You know, it's unmerited love for us, undeserving. He loves us unconditionally. And in return, the Lord expects that we must love him with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our strength. So that means my entire being, I have to love the Lord. So in everything that I do, I must demonstrate that I love God. And I think the next scripture we read, where it speaks about that we should love our neighbors, our enemies, that speaks about we must be able to now demonstrate the selfless love that God has demonstrated to us. We must be able to love irrespective of who the person is. We must be able to demonstrate an undeserving love, whether it's the person that you're seeing for the first time or whether it's a family member that has rejected you, that you too should love in the same manner that Christ loves us. That because when we love in this fashion, what it means for me as an individual, it brings about joy. Because when I'm loving the same way as Abba Father loves, because he's then pleased, I experience his joy in my heart because I am doing what is pleasing unto Abba Father. So it truly means that we are no longer loving people based on what they can do for us. We don't love people because of how they look, but we express love, unmerited love, undeserving love, just as the way Abba Father loves us. And so when we do this, we please God. And when we please him, he releases his love and his joy into our hearts. So it means that from a wellness perspective, that I'm much more healthy as an individual. And what does it mean to the environment that I live in? It means that others can also experience the love of God. Somebody that might never take up the Bible, but through my life, somebody can experience what it means to be loved, to be accepted, to be embraced without being judged, just like the Lord Jesus loves us. And so truly, that's something that we aspire and something that I aspire to daily is to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Thank you, Angelina.
Gospel for Grampian listeners. Love has got everything to do with our life. Like Shanaz has said, that when we love God, we love ourselves and we become selfless. That means everything we do in this life has got purpose, has got influence, has got power, and we have an eternal reward for it. Love is everything if we need to be successful, right, ladies? Without the love of God, we ain't gonna be successful. We're going to be needy, we're going to be selfish, we're going to be jealous, we're going to be envious, we're going to be boastful, we're going to be arrogant. If you want to have a full life gospel for Grampian listeners, you don't have any choice but to submit to the command that Shanaz gave earlier, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love one another. The greatest commandment is love, and it is unconditional. And when we begin to love God, then we begin to show mercy and grace to other people. And we are happy people, joyful people, peaceful people, blessed people, because it's never about a selfish motive anymore. Myrtle, you are enjoying an amazing love relationship with the Lord. Talk to us about love and the love of God. What has the Lord put in your heart to minister to us tonight?
Thank you, Angelina. I've got a testimony. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this world who used to hate the way I look, my body and myself. Years ago, I used to hate my body and I was disgusted with myself. God created us in his own image. So how can we not love ourselves if we are made in the image of God? When I was younger, in my teenage years, I had to follow all the fashion trends because I have a passion for fashion. I did not even want to wear clothes that was the same style as all the girls in our town. I had an obsession about my look and wanted to be different. We can't love ourselves with a prideful and self-centered nature. To love yourself will never lead you to the true satisfaction or fulfillment. God created us in his image, and that is a fact that gives us great worth. We spend enough time in this world that is so toxic. God can't reveal the true gospel to you if you have a bad attitude. And I had that bad attitude. I always wanted to look the best. We are all truly loved by God. We are the righteous of God. So he wants us to fully embrace his love. The fact that we are made in the image of God gives us a great worth to be treated well by others. If I look back on my life today, then I realize that to love yourself has its place, but you have to make room for your Creator's love. To have the love of God in the most important part in your Christian journey. More of God, less of me. His love blots out fear, doubt, and worries in our lives. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the love we must embrace in our lives. The true love of God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. I went through a time in my life that social media was everything to me. I used to see people with skinny bodies and wanted to be exactly the same. I suffered from bulimia for a very long time in my life, just to be like the world. Self-love, at the end of the day, can be very dangerous. My husband used to tell me, "Whoa, but you look beautiful today." I thought, oh, he was just saying that to make me feel good. That is what self-love can do to you if you don't really know your Creator. Gospel for Grampian listeners, please, I beg you, don't believe the devil. He is just out there to kill, steal, and destroy people's lives. God is love, and that is the only true love. Love yourself as God loves you. You are so unique and beautiful, made in the image of God, and he loves you just the way you are.
Wow, Myrtle, what an amazing, amazing testimony. Gospel for Grampian listeners, we are hearing today that love is everything, because without the love of God, you do not accept yourself. You do not love yourself. And then you end up competing with the world in order to satisfy yourself. What are your thoughts on what Myrtle just said now, ladies?
I was really encouraged in what Myrtle shared with us and about how she said that we must engage in the love of God. Because the only way that we can love ourselves is through the love of God, is through the mercy and the grace of God, is through seeing ourselves through the eyes of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, now these three remain, faith, hope, love, but the greatest of this is love. That as we walk in that place that we will see the love of God and not to conform to the things of the world, and not to look at ourselves the way the world allows people to look at themselves, but to really look at ourselves through the eyes of God. why God created us, the love of God that he has for us, how he gave his son Jesus so that we can walk in that place of love and not conform to the world, but conform to the love of God so that we can be stable in him, so that we can in our heart find ourselves in God and not allow the world's view of things influence our love for ourselves.
Wow, absolutely. Love it, love it. Share with us, Nelly, what are your thoughts on media and popularity has a negative impact on people who don't know the love of God?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. It is so true what the beautiful Medal was saying. We become too conscious about our earthly look. We concentrate on the outside of our bodies. We are forgetting that the God that we serve, he says, he searches the heart. So God doesn't look at our bodies. He doesn't look the way we look from the outside, but he looks for the inside. So it's very important that the children of God, we don't go to the world and look for answers and look what the world is dishing at us, the world that is showing us the way women, they must look, they must be skinny, they must dress up like this, women must be like that. We must know that we are made in the image of God, and God loves us, and God made us to be different. God made us in his image, in the spirit, not in this physical body that we are wearing. This physical body, it's just that we are different in color, different in size, different in shape. God loves us the way we are. We are unique. But we know that when coming to the things of the spirit, we are one. That is why the love that we are talking about is not a physical love. It's not the love of touching each other, embracing each other, hugging each other. It's beyond that. It is spiritual. The love of God is a spiritual love because God himself, he is a spirit. He's not a man. So you cannot say, I've got the love of God, but you don't know him. You never accepted him in your life as your Lord and Savior. It's impossible not to have God, not to know him personally and think that you will possess this love that he has given us. It is so true, especially with us ladies. It's something that is tormenting us, that we want to be loved by people. We want husbands that loves us. You know, we want to get married. But I love the book of Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So if you are a beautiful woman outside there and you are waiting for a husband, you need to pray to God so that God can give you a husband according to Ephesians chapter 5:25. This is the husband you should pray for, because if you just accept any man and think that man is going to give you love, you're going to have a very terrible life. But you need to have a husband that has got Christ in him, because that husband will understand that I need to love my wife just like Jesus. Jesus loved the church. So he need to submit himself under Christ and then have the love of Christ. So it's simple for your husband to love you because Christ is in him. So every time, we must not be in a hurry to marry wrong people. We must not be in a hurry to envy, as Medal was saying, that you just want things. You know, you envy that one because he's married. You want to get married like that. And then you just go around and just taking anyone married to that person. That person doesn't even fear God. You are not going to experience love. Because when Angelina started with this program, we spoke about us ladies. She said, when coming to love, us ladies, we know that it's how God created us. You know, he created us to be loved. We want to be loved by people who married us. But if they don't know God, they can't give us this love that we need. So we must not envy the world. We must not go according to the standard of this world, because if we allow ourselves to move with the standard of this world, we are going to fail. We're going to look at ourselves. We are going to be discouraged. We are going not to have self-confidence, because now the world is telling us things that we cannot achieve. But if we are going to walk according to the love of God, we're going to have peace, we're going to have joy, we're going to be content in everything that we have. Thank you, Angelina.
I still want to touch a little bit on what Myrtle said. Everything that she did was focusing on the outward appearance. I'm going back to 1 Samuel 16:17, which is what Nelly has been expressing. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, what I'm reading from this, Shanaz, is that man looks at the physical, and the Bible says man will fail us. If we allow the world to approve us and affirm us and accept us, we must know that they are going to fail us, because man's love fails. The Bible says man will fail us, but God will not. I'm thinking about myself, Shanaz. I used to be a person that was so rejected. I physically looked ugly, and I had to work to look beautiful. And Myrtle said some amazing things now when she said, when she understood the love of God, she understood how unique she was. She celebrated her uniqueness. When I grew up, I had such bad acceptance of myself. I used to be called the black sheep of the family. I literally was bad in every way, in nature, in attitude, and in physical look. I looked terrible. But the minute I got to age 32 and I began to develop that love relationship that Myrtle speaks about, I loved God, and in return, God showed me my unique, beautiful me. I got to a point where I never needed any man to affirm or love or accept me, because I seen through the love of the Father how beautiful I am. Talk to the audience tonight, Shanaz. How important the love of God is towards us accepting and identifying our beauty and our true self.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. And I think what beautiful Myrtle said is so profound. Many a times, like yourself, Angelina, you just described that you actually started displaying what you were feeling internally. And so when we, like Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the world puts shame on us, and through rejection you experience the shame. And so I want to speak to any person that's perhaps experiencing this, you know, that God doesn't put us to shame. When we encounter the Lord, He puts love upon us. He puts love into our hearts, and He causes us to be able to love ourselves. And therefore, it's not His desire for us to feel as the outcast, to feel as the one that is disowned, for He is love. And where love is, like beautiful Nelly said earlier, where there's love, there's no fear. And many a times we fear being rejected. We fear not being good enough. We fear not being able to fit in. And so when we experience the love of God, there is no shame, because His love brings about peace. It brings about joy. It brings about acceptance of who we are, because we have been created in His image. So when we reject ourselves, we are actually rejecting God, because we are a creation of His handiwork. And so we have to repent of this. And I'm so blessed that you ladies are here, able to testify of the love of God that you've experienced. And so, women, I want to encourage you this evening, embrace the love of God. Embrace who you are, because you are a creation of His handiwork. We are created through Christ Jesus in His image this evening. So I want to encourage you, love yourself, embrace yourself. We all have our faults, but yet when love comes, it makes everything perfect. So I want to encourage you this evening. You've heard the word of God this evening. Trust in the Lord. Receive Him this evening. And may you be encouraged. May you be blessed this evening. God loves you. And remember, you are not alone. You are not the first person that's experienced being rejected or feeling alone or unloved. Yeah, we have beautiful ladies that have just shared their personal experience, and God is love and He wants you to experience love. God bless you. Thank you so much, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. Before I call upon our beautiful Sharon to just take our listeners through 1 Corinthians 13, 1, and to explain what love is, I want to give a testimony of how much Jesus loves me and what He did for me that made me begin to love who I am because of what Jesus said to me. I want to tell you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, God is real and His word is alive. And His word is there for every human being. His word is there for every season of your life. Let me tell you what happened. I always look to someone, another human being, to affirm me, to love me, and to accept me. And if they didn't affirm me, I felt rejected by them. It didn't do anything in the natural, the serving, the acts of service to show me they loved me. I thought I was a bad person, I'm unloved, and nobody loves me. And then just before my ex-husband left me, he said to me, "Your body is old." And he made me feel totally, totally unattractive. And later on, as I fell in love with the Lord, like Myrtle says, I began to develop a love language and fall in love with Jesus. And as I fell in love with Jesus, one day Jesus said to me, "Go and read Ezekiel 16. And then he said this. It happened as if it was real, because I was at a point of suicide and I went to go cut myself in the bathroom. And something said, "Don't go cut yourself." And this scripture spoke to me, because when I cried out to the Lord saved me. And Ezekiel 16:6 goes on to say, Jesus tells me this now 2 years after I got reborn and developed an amazing relationship with Him and fell in love with Him. He now began to tell me what He thinks about me. And this is what He told me. "Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, 'Live, Angelina.' I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew and developed and entered puberty. Your breast had formed and your hair had grown. Yet you were stark naked. Later, Angelina, I passed by. And when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you a solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine." In the scripture, Jesus is saying to me, "I'm yours, you are mine, you are my beloved, and I have covered your nakedness, and I love you." He's affirming me. And then He goes further on to tell me, "I bathed you with water and I washed the blood from you and put ointments on you." He gave me Esther treatment. "I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put sandals of fine leather on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with the costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and necklace around your neck. And I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold, silver, your clothes were fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was honey, olive oil, and finest flour. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the sovereign Lord." Gospel for Grampian. That was the scripture the Lord gave me in 2009. After my ex-husband said I was ugly and didn't look good, as I fell in love with Jesus, Jesus gave me this scripture. Over the months, I meditated on the scripture because Jesus said, "This is who I am." I became that. I dressed in fine clothes. I ate honey, olive oil, and finest flour. I dressed. I had matching shoes made. Jesus told me what I was, and I began to walk in it. I never needed, when I shopped, the Holy Spirit would take me to an expensive shoe boutique, and I would buy for 1,000 rand like 10 pairs of expensive boutique shoes. All because I believed what God said, that I'm beautiful and he's dressing me up. So I'm saying to you listeners today that God has a word for you about who you are, how beautiful you are, how unique you are, and how he wants to adorn you. You can try it the world's way and you will be disappointed because man will fail you and they will never make you feel like a royal bride the way Jesus does. His love completes you and beautifies you like Nelly, Shanaz, Myrtle, and Sharon has said today. Do not rob yourself of finding your truest self and your royalty as a daughter of God by allowing the world to define you. Allow God's love to define you.
Gospel for Grampian listeners, when I think about my journey of learning about the love language of God and how genuine it is compared to the love of man, I love how John describes it in the 1 John, what the love of the world is and what the love of God is. Look at the book of 1 John 2 verse 15. This is what he says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And here you read about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And what we covet with our eyes, when we begin to follow the love of the world, we then follow in the patterns of things that feed the flesh. Like Myrtle spoke about popularity and acceptance by the world, or whatever your neighbor has, you want to compete with that because now you suddenly have the love for their car, the love for their spouse, the love for their things in their house. That is the lust of the world. And I love in 1 John 4 verse 7, he says, knowing God through love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone whose love is born of God, and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And I just love this. When we begin to embrace God's love, we not only love God back, but we begin to love people the way we love God. There's a reciprocation of love that goes lateral towards others as we love God. And he goes on to talk about it in verse 12. He says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. We have the love of God. That means we are abiding in God and God is abiding in us, which means his love has been shed abroad through our hearts. Shanaz, share with us again the love scripture in 1 Corinthians 13.
Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4, I want to encourage the listeners today. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. To the listeners today, we can see that love will never fail. Through all of this, love is established, will always be established, and love will never fail. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. Nelly, as we say goodbye to our audience, you've got a last inspiration for them.
1 Corinthians 13, from verse 1. This part of the scripture is saying, people, they don't care how much you know. What they care is how much you love. It's very important that we need to love before we can show acts of charity. Love covers everything.
Thank you, Nelly. As we close today, beautiful Gospel for Grampian listeners, we are saying that love means everything, and everything means God. God is love. Without God, you don't have everything, and you will always end up depending on people and things that are natural to satisfy you, and you will be disappointed. You will see failure and live failure. But like Nelly and Shanaz said, when you know that love is God, you will never fail because God never fails. From us to you, we love you. Bye.